We back at it again, y'all. Back at it. Franco. Hey. Jay Dutch. Hey. Khalees. Hey. Listen. One time for the Sweet 16. The number of years Randy been doing his thing. Hey. Right on time, just like a fresh G-Shock. Bringing light to the party right at the press box. Hey, everybody. It's a new season. Players putting smiles on faces and all for good reason. Hey. Let's get some wings. Let's drink a couple beers. Yeah. And chat it up with the players that we all cheer. It's the player show that features different guests. Guess. Thanks to my man, we only meet the best. 7 o'clock, that means it's time to start the show. And I'm so glad y'all get to rock to my flows. Hey, get them, baby.
And now, for the 16th year, let's take it to the press box with Randy Harris and his special guest.
Check.
And now the Monday Night Players Show with Randy Harris from the Press Box.
Check. Welcome, everybody, to the Press Box Sports Emporium, another Monday Night Players Show. Let's welcome Super Bowl champ Corey Ivey to the place, to the house, to the box.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having
me. What's up, Corey? How are you?
I'm good, and you?
Don't mean to interrupt your
shrimp fine.
Salad. And
it's not going anywhere.
All right. A lot of things that we're going to get to. First and foremost, what's up? What's new? What's going on?
Well, been retired for... This will be my sixth year now, how fast that's went by. Really just adjusting to the retired life. You know, a lot of people don't know what to do, which was me at the beginning. But I do have a family, so I'm active with my kids. My daughter plays tennis. My son's little baseball league. So I'm really involved with them. I get to be around more often, as a lot of people know when you're retired. So get to go to after-school activities. And that's really about it, man, taking it one day at a time, trying to find my next niche. You know, after football, you kind of try to find out what you want to do after life, after football, because you know you can't play it forever. So I've dibble-dabbled in the past couple of years in little internships, the coaching internships during the summertime. And also I would like to probably sports radio, talk show, commentator of some sort, just to stay involved around the athletic field of things, but not quite sure yet. Just saying we're trying to make the next move my best move.
Are you still adjusting to it, or have you adjusted to the fact?
No, I mean, I'm full-fledged. I've definitely adjusted to the fact that I'm not even close to being a player anymore. I don't think I have the mental strength anymore to become a player anymore, but yeah, I've adjusted, I've accepted it, I've done my time and defeated the odds, if you will, and looking for my next adventure.
All right, I want to talk about the Buccaneers. I want to talk about a little bit about yesterday and what's going on, but I kind of want to talk about, go back, and it's like This Is Your Life, you know, the old TV show. And as I did my 10 seconds of research, all right, it was you, so I did 6 seconds because I've known you as long as I have. I don't know if I remembered, you played in the XFL.
I did.
What was that like?
You know what? I saw the 30 for 30, and I really didn't – that was during our game, and I didn't realize that all that was transpiring. You know, you kind of are aware, but I didn't know that the Saturday Night Live ran long, didn't get to come on time and all that kind of stuff. But it was an exciting league. I mean, it was football at the end of the day. I mean, even though Vince McMahon had a couple of off-the-wall kind of – nuances, but at the end of the day, it was tackle football, which I love to do and something you got paid to do. So I really, being a young man at that time, I didn't know any better, but it was definitely a learning experience, and definitely it wasn't the NFL, but it was pretty much the next closest thing at that time.
One of the questions I'm going to ask you later about, you know, if you could talk to yourself 10 years ago, what would you tell yourself? And we're going to do that later, but if you could go back in time to that year that you played in the XFL, would you have come up with a different nickname, like He Hate Me or something? How many people remember anything about the XFL
except
for Smart and the name that he went by?
Yeah, that's true. I probably would have. I mean, this day and age, if it was the XFL was this day and age, it would have been a hit, because all the social media with all that kind of stuff, and the Twitter followers and Instagram and all that kind of stuff. But I probably would have given myself a nickname, probably just to market myself, just like he did.
Right.
To this day, he still gets asked about He Hate Me and where that moniker came from and all that kind of stuff. So probably a lot more guys, including myself, would have come up with some kind of nickname.
You know, I was telling my wife the other day, and we were talking about Dexter Jackson, I think, and how by winning the MVP, it sets you up for autograph sessions for the rest of your life because you're MVP.
Definitely.
I think the same with Rod Smart, because people would pay to get his autograph for him to sign He Hate Me.
Yes, definitely. You know, that league only lasted 1 year, so he was definitely, if you get any kind of memorabilia, any kind of autograph that he wrote that moniker on there, He Hate Me, you know, that could he'll never have that moniker on the back of his jersey again. So that was definitely an opportunity for him, and he took full advantage of it. He definitely beat the curve.
So when they went over some of the new rules of the XFL and they said, this is going to be our kickoff,
right,
somebody's going to stand here. What did you think? And did you, like, back up a little bit so that you didn't get picked as one of those people?
Funny story. Our very first game, I played for the Chicago Enforcers. We played over in Orlando at the Citrus Bowl. And my coach, came to me and asked me, did I want to do the dash for the ball at the beginning of the game? I said, no, I might get hurt. And lo and behold, the very first time that he ran, the guy was from Orlando. The very first time he did the dash for the ball, he like separated his shoulder because he tried to dive after it, and he was done for the year. And I was like, yeah.
You made the right decision.
Yeah, I'm not doing that ever.
I remember going up to it, and, you know, it's a shame. It was fun.
Yeah. But until somebody got hurt.
I'm saying the whole league, but yeah.
Right.
You know, with him getting hurt, but you can't go up against, you know, the NFL, the big daddy. And
even in the spring, it was still a tough draw. I mean, certain markets were bigger than the others. We were lucky to have a pretty good market. We got to play at Soldier Field. We were in Chicago, downtown Chicago, right on Michigan Ave. Practiced at a local high school, but we played at Soldier Field. So it was nice. Wish it could have lasted a couple of more years to give it a chance, but you know how it goes. Money rules everything, and the TV ratings started going down, and the TV money wasn't just there, so I had to fold.
Talk to us about your experience. What was it, the Galaxy?
Frankfurt Galaxy, NFL Europe.
I think I still have a Galaxy jersey, too.
Yeah.
I meant NFL to bring
Europe,
it.
That was definitely one of the better times. I mean, because you're in Europe as a young man, you get to tour Barcelona, Scotland, Frankfurt, Berlin, Dusseldorf, all those different cities that you had never – all those different countries, rather, that you'd never go to if you were just playing NFL football, maybe. So it was definitely a culture shock, first of all, made you appreciate the U.S. for – all the luxuries and things that you have over here, the freedom of speech, the way people dress, the people driving on the wrong side of the road and all that kind of stuff, and the food and different things. But overall, those people accepted us for football. You know, it was a learning experience for them, just like it was for us being over there, period. So they really brought us in as family, and they really liked the Frankfurt Galaxy when I was there.
Obviously, we're going back in time, but can you remember the fans and how knowledgeable, you know, were they on the game of our football, not their football?
Yeah, they were very knowledgeable. Quiet as kept, they were knowledgeable, and definitely they knew more than you thought they would know. They knew what a fumble was and an interception, and they might term it differently, like in maybe a soccer term, but they knew the nuances of football, and they really came out, especially in Frankfurt. We probably sold out every home game, and then we played the rivalry Rhine Fire. I mean, it was an overflowing crowd, so it was definitely a good time, and those people definitely knew what we were talking about, even though you might not think that they did, but they do.
How different were the crowds in the XFL over to the World Football League over in Europe, and then, you know, back in the NFL when you came back?
The crowds were a lot different. A lot of whistles, a lot of soccer chants, if you will. But, they were definitely raucous and throwing graffiti. I mean, throwing, like, paper and shredded up colored paper of your Frankfurt Galaxy and everything. But yeah, it was definitely a raucous crowd with the Frankfurt Galaxy. I can't speak for every other team because that's all I know. But yeah, Frankfurt was definitely a hotbed for American football.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the 02 season.
Okay.
Tends to be the number one subject for Buccaneer fans. That would be the Super Bowl year.
Remember it like yesterday.
And we'll talk about that and what ended up in San Diego. One of my favorite times, being in the locker room after
definitely,
that game.
Definitely.
Coming to you live from the Press Box Sports Emporium, hanging out with the Super Bowl champ, Corey Ivey. We'll be right back.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Direct from Broadway comes the one musical with the best songs, the best moves, and the best time you can have in the theater. On Your Feet, the Emilio and Gloria Estefan musical. Surrender to the beat, because the rhythm's gonna get you.
At the Strass Center, October 24th to the 29th. Tickets at strasscenter.org.
Come on in to the Country Depot in Brooksville, Florida, or go online to countrydepotstore.com to get your purses, t-shirts, Western and Southern home decor, antique gifts, small and large, and much, much more. Plus, a large memorabilia area, including Buccaneers and Rays items. That's Country Depot, Brooksville, Florida, or countrydepotstore.com. Epic Body Work and Massage is the premier massage therapy clinic in Tampa Bay, empowering people to take control over their bodies through skilled body work and sharing of an education that inspires movement. Epic Body Work and Massage guides you through a journey of new awareness as they unravel the twisting years of tension that your body has endured, providing joy as what was once limited movement now comes alive as your body experiences increased range and movement. Visit their website at www.epicbody.work. Schedule an appointment by calling their office at 813-898-0601 and follow them on social media at Epic Body Work.
It's a Culver's tradition. Fresh frozen custard made daily, right in the restaurant, combined with real pumpkin.
Craig Culver on pumpkin season at Culver's.
Our salted caramel pumpkin concrete mixer is drizzled in salted caramel and simply amazing.
Whoa.
If you love pumpkin pie, you'll love Culver's pumpkin spice shake.
Nice.
And new this year, Culver's pumpkin gingerbread concrete mixer.
You better hurry, pumpkin lovers. These creations will be gone before you know it.
Welcome to Delicious.
The Press Box Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the Press Box also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12-draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years. The Press Box Sports Emporium at 222 South Dale Mabry in Tampa.
Hi, I'm James Lofton, and you know who you are on the other side of the dial, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back coming to you live from the Press Box Sports Emporium, the Monday Night Players Show, hanging out with Super Bowl champ Corey Ivey. And I don't know if you ever thought about this, and I mentioned to you about, you know, Dexter and the MVP and, you know, how he gets these autograph signings and such. I believe, at least when he told me this, that Super Bowl 37 is the longest Super Bowl to write out with the XXXVII. And he's like, I couldn't have won Super Bowl, you know, been MVP of Super Bowl II.
No.
You know, or Super Bowl 10.
Right.
You know, because every time you sign it, and everybody, they don't want, fans don't want you to put 37.
They want the Roman numerals.
Right. They want the XXX, you know, VII, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So let's go back to 02 and before the Super Bowl. Let's just talk about the season. What do you remember most?
We lost our very first game at home in overtime against the New Orleans Saints. And it was the end of the world. And if I remember correctly, which I do, it was it was heavy hurricane season. And our first 4 weeks of the season, you know, we were over in the old One Buck, over by the airplane fumes and all that kind of good stuff. So our first 4 weeks of the season were as hurricanes around here. So we were practicing in the, I guess it's a bank right there. It's still the bank right there. We practiced in the bank parking garage for like 4 weeks, and we were the freshest team ever. So we went on a five or six game run. Every team that year that beat us didn't make the playoffs. So for what it's worth, you feel we could have went 16-0, but we were 12-4. We lost to New Orleans twice. We lost to Pittsburgh on Monday night, and we lost to the Philadelphia Eagles at Philly. So those were our four losses. And just that whole season was memorable. We talk about it all the time. We talked about it when Malcolm Glazier was in his Ring of Honor, just catching up with old guys that came back to celebrate our Super Bowl reunion that we had a couple of years ago. Guys are bringing up certain things on the plane. We remember going to San Diego. We remember winning in Philly. I mean, someplace we haven't won in forever. The place that got Coach Dungy fired. You know what? Shoot. I mean, we remember those days. We remember on the plane ride back from Philly, not believing that we're going to a Super Bowl, that we defeated all these odds in cold weather games and things like that. So when we got here, unlike today, you went to the Super Bowl the next day. You don't have a week off. So we had to come home, get our old stuff, get our Super Bowl packets ready, fly our parents or loved ones or whoever out the all the way across the other side of the United States, because it was in San Diego. So we had guys go, like, it was a Sunday. We had guys that Monday morning come to the team facility with nothing. They came with nothing, no toothbrush, no suitcase. Whatever they went to San Diego with, they bought. So it was definitely a lot of fun, man. Just the overall experience going downtown in the Gaslamp District, seeing all the Raiders fans and all the Buccaneer fans travel across the United States just to cheer on the Buccaneers. We were definitely well represented. So, I mean, it was almost like it was fate. And those are memories you'll never forget. Those are relationships that you build. Those are just things that you talk to other people who've won Super Bowls about, the journeys to get there and different things of that nature. But it was definitely our most memorable season, and it's something that can never be taken away from you. That's one thing for sure.
You know, as you were talking about coming back from Philly, I remember it like yesterday. I don't think we had cell phones back then, did we? I don't know. Did we? I don't think so.
No, pagers were out. We might have had cell phones just coming onto the scene.
I don't remember, but I remember calling my wife and saying something to the effect of, I can't believe Tampa won. I'm coming home, changing clothes. I'm going to San Diego.
No question.
You know,
I called my mom from in the locker room.
Right.
Pack your bags. You're leaving to San Diego mañana. So it was definitely, she remembers too. She remembers, and all my grandmas and everything. Yeah, it was definitely, it was the best feeling. You didn't feel any cold after you won that game in Philly.
We'll jump back to the Super Bowl in a second. You mentioned about the old complex, and I used to like it.
Right.
Of course, then the new one came.
Yeah.
But I kind of compare the old One Buck to Buck Palace, or, you know, whatever it's called now, to the Rocky Balboa number 2. I think it's when Rocky goes out, and they take him to this plush place. And he's like, no. And Apollo's like, no, we're not going here. We're going into this, you know, dungeon. And, and when I went to Germany with a local professional champion boxer, they put us in this unbelievable spot. And the trainer's like, no, we can't go there.
Right, it's too
we
nice.
Went to the, yeah, it's too nice. Do you think the team would have been, I don't want to say as successful, but in the luxury when it wasn't luxury?
Yeah.
$1, you earned everything you got over there.
It did. It was, man. It was definitely a place, because when I first came here, coming from University of Oklahoma, where we had the best of everything.
It was nicer.
I come here, and we have this outdoor lifting, these outdoor weights that are all rusted and under a hot tarp that the 100-degree sun, and it's humid outside, and it's like, man, what is this? So it was definitely a shock in that sense of the thing, but it brought us closer.
Right.
It made us work hard. We know we needed each other. We needed each other. It was a struggle at sometimes just to maneuver around the little cubicles and all that kind of stuff. But it was definitely it brought us closer as a team, and we knew we had each other's back when the times were tough. And I mean, at the end result, if it was a championship, I guess they'd definitely go back to the old cubicles if they can win another championship.
There's a lot of fans that are here at the press box and a lot of fans that listen to the show that have done the tour over at the new $1 place.
Right.
And I was telling Freddie Martino, who's scheduled to be here next Monday with Chuck Darby, they're cousins. I don't know if you know that. So it's kind of an ironic twist. I asked Freddie, has Chuck told you how Chuck used to eat his lunch? In your locker.
Yeah.
You used to turn the seat around and you literally ate in your locker.
Yeah.
Today they have this nice dining facility.
Oh,
and it's just so different.
Everything used to go on in the locker room. You used to watch film. They used to bring the projector in there to watch film in the locker room. You used to eat in the locker room. They used to have the catering service out in the hallway as like a buffet style. Jose. And you went and got your food and you went to your locker, your little wood locker, and sat there and ate. So, I mean, we didn't know any better, and that's all we had, so we made the best of it. And you build camaraderie, I think, from 10 times like that. You know, we didn't have the best facilities or nothing, but come Sundays at 1 o'clock out there at Raymond James Stadium, you were going to get the best defense this side of the Mississippi.
Have you ever had a better Cuban than what Jose used to make?
No, Jose was magical. Jose was very magical. He kept a lot of guys afloat, and definitely do miss those breakfasts and remember the hall back on Friday's afternoon. Those are definitely memorable times.
All right, now let's jump to San Diego. You guys get out there. I was looking forward to the media day because Frank Middleton obviously was out there now in Oakland. And I went to go see him, and I was looking forward to that. What do you remember of media day and how spectacular that it really was?
I mean, I remember everything. Plane ride there, the bus. When we arrived to the hotel, all the fans were walking through our hotel. We were like, how do they know where we're at? We were all the way in La Jolla. And just all the people that just came 3,000 miles to support us. They've been struggling there for so long, and they would say they would be damned that they're going to miss this opportunity to go out here and represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. And just the practices at the local high school, like you said, the media days, the media day, the team picture at the stadium the night before, the night before where we just all recapped the season in our final team meeting of the year. Coach Gruden had the master plan, and Coach Kiffin came up with a great defensive plan. Coach Gruden playing quarterback the Friday before the Super Bowl. Just everything. The bus ride to the Super Bowl. Everybody caught the early bus because they didn't want to miss anything. So when we got there, guys not getting too overly excited about the – we all just saw the big picture, man. We know that guys like Derek Brooks and John Lynch and Warren Sapp and Keyshawn Johnson and Brad Johnson and all those guys, man, this you might not ever get another chance because you got to make the most of it, and that's definitely what we did.
How often, and obviously 42 times or whatever, but does everything come perfectly in place? Every position, you had the right guy in the right position, the right players on the team. There were no issues. Everything about that team was magical.
Yeah, it definitely was. I don't know how it would be these days, but back then in 2002, man, we had a special group. Like him or hate him, 99, he was the best. I mean, he was better than advertised, as good as advertised, or however you want to put it. I know he gets a lot of criticism
for
us off the field.
Yeah, I'll say he was better.
Yeah. I see. No, he gets a lot of criticism for off the field, but I tell you one thing, you don't want to play against him. You know what I'm saying? You'd rather him be on your team no matter what he does away from the football field. But come Sundays at 1 o'clock, if you have 9-9 on your team, you have a phenomenal chance of winning, backed by Derek Brunson, Brooks and John Lynch. So we had playmakers and leaders at every level. So and they held you accountable, too. I mean, they would get on each other if one was slacking or one missed a play or something. So there was no egos when we were on the field. There was no me. It's for the betterment of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
The thing that I remember of that situation, and I had the pleasure of being in the locker room,
right,
you know, that whole season. And if somebody did say something to somebody or got in their face or whatever, I don't remember anybody really taking it personally. They knew that, you know, you weren't being picked on. Somebody did something wrong. Somebody's correcting it so that you could get to that ultimate goal of being in San Diego and winning that game.
No question. We definitely held each other accountable. Either it was me or it was Dwight Smith or even Warren Sapp or John Lynch. If you weren't pulling your weight, somebody was going to let you know. And there's no hard feelings. I mean, we're all adults, grown men here. And either you can or you can't do it. Because if you can't do it, best believe me, we're going to try to get somebody in there who can do it. So there was no hard feelings, even though there was turmoil, yelling at each other. Everybody was a grown man, and you're out to set you have a job to do. And if you don't do it, then there's going to be a problem. You have to get this job done, or we'll find somebody who can get the job done.
Before I ask you one of the questions, your greatest moment in the Super Bowl, what about some of the other moments? You know, do you remember watching Dwight Smith fly by and score a touchdown, or, you know, Dexter with the interception? You know, what's the first memory that comes to mind of watching somebody else? And then we'll talk about
First memory was because we kicked off. No, we returned. And I was on the kickoff return team. So I was on the very first play of Super Bowl 37, and I remember that. I remember being back there in the returner, the off returner with Stecker back there, and I remember just the ball getting kicked off and all those times. I was a young man watching all the Super Bowls and the flash bulbs, and you try not to get too caught up in the moment, but you're like, I've seen this movie before. So it was definitely nice. And like you said, when Dwight intercepted that ball, man, I met him in the end zone. I was running so fast. It all just comes back to me. So it was definitely memorable, but something that you're not going to get rid of. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. I remember it like it's yesterday. I tell my kids about it. They call me a liar, but it is what it is. They'll figure it out one day.
I'm friends with Dexter, and
right,
I'm friends with Dwight. Now, I know, again, it's not a personal thing,
yeah,
but Dwight is still livid and still cannot handle the fact.
Bitter. Yeah, very
bitter. That's the word. He's still bitter that he was not picked as MVP.
Yeah, and believe it or not, during one of the final kickoffs, before his last interception, which was about maybe 30, 45 seconds left in the game, he asked me what would he have to do to get the MVP, and I told him you have to return another one for a touchdown. By that time, they'd already named Dexter Jackson the Super Bowl MVP. So we go out there. Our second string was in there, and we're going out there, and Greg Spires tips the ball, and Dwight gets it and returns it for a touchdown. And I said, too late, man, too late. They already said Dexter's the MVP. But, that was definitely – I think they should wait till after the game to name the MVP, because that definitely was a situation where you might have given it to Dwight Smith, who returned two touchdowns.
Or Co. You know, I could have lived with Co. And the reason that I still think Dexter is okay getting it is because it was early in the game.
Right.
You know, Dwight's
right.
was at the end of the game. The game was out of hand. The game was over.
Yeah.
You know, Dexter's helped turn into a no-run game for the Oakland Raiders.
Definitely. But that's the end. You are dealing with the NFL. That means they would have had to give away two cars. So that really might not have happened.
Or knowing those two, they would have split it in half.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
They probably would have took the money of the cars and split it.
And definitely split it. What do you remember in the locker room? Or is that – now the game's over. You're now a Super Bowl champ. And I'll tell you the story real quick that I started to tell you off the air. And I remember this like it was yesterday. Todd Yoder had the – and I told the story here numerous times. Todd Yoder had the end locker next to the shower.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm over there talking to Todd. I was hosting his radio show that season, and we're talking. And I happened to look. And, you know, you never want to look around in a locker room for the obvious reason.
Right.
There's a lot of naked guys walking around. And I really don't want to look at naked guys.
Correct.
So I sort of turned – and in the shower, Nate Webster is showering and being interviewed by Biff from the David Letterman show. So Biff is in the shower talking to Nate Webster.
Yeah.
Biff walks out of the shower, leans over to me and says, who was that guy I was just talking to?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, the only thing worse than being in the shower with a naked man and interviewing him is not knowing who you're interviewing.
Yeah.
But that's what I remember of the locker room.
I remember going in at halftime. We were up, I think, maybe like 20-6. And we were thinking to ourselves, if we go out there and we shut them down this first series of the third quarter, we're going to win. We're Super Bowl champions. We start putting the nail in the coffin. So we go in there. I don't think anybody knows this, but we start putting all our clothes in plastic for the celebration afterwards.
Wow, I did not know
that. We all start putting our clothes in plastic for the celebration afterwards because we were that confident that once we got this lead, there's nothing in the world that's going to stop us from coming back in here 30 minutes later, world champions. And lo and behold, I think it might have been like the first or second series, Dwight gets that interception for a touchdown, and boom, we're up. And then they make a little run, and then Brooks seals the deal for really after that with the interception for a touchdown. So, we put our clothes in the plastic bag knowing that give us 30 more minutes, and we know for a fact that we're going to hold on and bring a championship back to Tampa, Florida.
The only thing that I remember more than the game itself and being in the locker room is Shania Twain was the halftime entertainment.
I was asking somebody that, who was our halftime? It was Shania Twain?
It was Shania Twain.
Interesting. Yeah.
I don't want to say I enjoyed that more than the game, but it's awful close. Yeah. I mean, you know, she was at the height of her career. I know she's just recently come back. And,
right.
It was Shania Twain.
Shania, I didn't know that.
All right, let's go hit another quick break. Coming to you live for the Press Box Sports Emporium. It is the Player Show, hanging out with Super Bowl champ Corey Ivey.
Body Work and Massage is the premier massage therapy clinic in Tampa Bay, empowering people to take control over their bodies through skilled body work and sharing of an education that inspires movement. Epic Body Work and Massage guides you through a journey of new awareness as they unravel the twisting years of tension that your body has endured, providing joy as what was once limited movement now comes alive as your body experiences increased range and movement. Visit their website at www.epicbody.work. Schedule an appointment by calling their office at 813-898-0601 and follow them on social media at Epic Body Work. Come on in to the Country Depot in Brooksville, Florida, or go online to countrydepotstore.com to get your purses, t-shirts, Western and Southern home decor, antique gifts, small and large, and much, much more. Plus, a large memorabilia area, including Buccaneers and Rays items. That's Country Depot, Brooksville, Florida, or countrydepotstore.com.
Think pizza's a junk food? Think again. At Tour de Pizza, we've combined a gourmet pizza with active lifestyle for over a decade. At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Two locations, one great pizza. That's Tour de Pizza. Online at tourdepizza.com. Dine in, take out, delivery. Serving the greater St. Petersburg area, where the mozzarella and the owner are shredded.
It's a Culver's tradition. Fresh frozen custard made daily, right in the restaurant, combined with real pumpkin.
Craig Culver on pumpkin season at Culver's.
Our salted caramel pumpkin concrete mixer is drizzled in salted caramel and simply amazing.
Whoa.
If you love pumpkin pie, you'll love Culver's pumpkin spice shake.
Nice.
And new this year, Culver's pumpkin gingerbread concrete mixer.
You better hurry, pumpkin lovers. These creations will be gone before you know it.
Welcome to Delicious.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring. StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today. Get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
The Press Box Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the Press Box also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12-draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties.
Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years. The PressBox Sports Emporium at 222 South Elm Avery in Tampa.
Hi, this is Keenan McCardell, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back with the live press box. This is for the Monday Night Players Show. Have a few gifts for our Super Bowl champ for coming out. First and foremost, a couple passes to get your car washed at Mr. Car Wash. That's for you. Oh, I know you're signing there.
Much. Thank you very much.
And then here is a original grain watch.
Oh.
And I have the apparatus, the equipment, whatever, to take out any links. And if you do need to take links out, I need them.
Okay.
Because I gave a watch to Jerry Wunsch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we need 19 more links.
Yeah, he's a big man.
I am honestly not sure I've ever been around a larger human being.
Yeah, he's probably bigger now. Yeah, he's definitely bigger now than when he played. Definitely. He's a huge.
He's huge. Yeah.
Wisconsin.
Yeah, Wisconsin. Yeah. You know, he told the story, and I didn't say the name. He did. Back in the day, he was a rookie. Massive then, and a particular player who we've already talked about. Well, since Jerry said his name, it was Warren. And Warren started to mess with him.
Oh,
well, when you're 19 feet tall, 380 pounds, you mess back.
Yeah.
And they formed a bond real quick. And they saw almost eye to eye.
Because neither of them were going anywhere.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. It was definitely interesting. All right, so speaking of a big guy, are you a wrestling fan at all?
Like WWE?
Yeah, the fake stuff.
I used to be. I used to be a huge wrestling fan, like when Ric Flair and the Ultimate Warrior and the Road Warriors and stuff like that. Yes, yes.
So
old school wrestling.
You don't watch it anymore?
No.
I stopped, and then, like, what is it? I went fishing, and they threw the pole out, and they hooked me back.
Right.
And literally, when I leave the show, I go home and I watch it.
Really?
Yeah. And it's not so much for the in the ring, in the wrestling. I love just, you know, their shtick. I love, you know, the talking and, you know, the soap opera. I was with Sheamus last Tuesday. It was a charity event, and Sheamus said it's a soap opera. It's just a soap opera for, well, male and female now.
Yeah, I used to Dusty Rhodes and all those kind. I like more. Yeah, I used to be huge. My mom used to get mad at me. Why are you watching that? It's fake. I said I was up at midnight watching it.
So,
yeah, I used to love it.
If you were going to be in a tag team match 15 years ago, that's when you watched, I guess, the most. Were you
20?
Were you WCW 20. Or were you WWF at the time?
No, I was with Jim Ross. What was that? Jim Ross and Ric Flair and the Four Horsemen.
That was WCW.
WCW.
Well, really, that was Championship Wrestling from Florida.
Yes, I used to love that. The Four Horsemen?
Yeah.
Yes.
The original Four Horsemen.
Yeah. Tully Blanchard,
Arn Anderson,
Ole Anderson,
and Ric Flair.
Yes.
So I went to WrestleMania in Orlando. I know this is off track. One of my top three wrestlers of all time is Barry Windham.
Okay. Okay.
Barry Windham became a horseman, but I don't.
Yeah,
I don't,
he did.
When we talked about it, I'm like, you're not a horseman.
No.
You're not a horseman.
Dusty
you're the
Rhodes
yellow dog.
Was affiliated with the horsemen too at one time.
Well, like they all sort of
cameo.
Came.
Cameo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
J.J. Dillon was the manager.
Yes, he was.
All right, so who would your tag team partner be? If you were going to be in a match back in the day.
The Nature Boy. Ric Flair.
You know, his daughter now wrestles.
Does she?
Yeah. Yep, she's big time now in the women's division. Ironically, her name is Charlotte because Flair's from Charlotte.
Charlotte, yes.
So,
yes.
Some questions from the audience. Mark wants to know, did you keep any of your jerseys? Or any other memorabilia from your time in?
I did. I kept a lot of my jerseys. I gave some away as gifts and to the less fortunate. But, yes, for the most part, I've kept a jersey from every team that I've played for. Kind of some memorabilia to show my kids. And definitely I've kept jerseys and helmets. And, well, from the Super Bowl year, I kept everything. I don't think I've ever washed my uniform or my pants or my shoes or socks. It's all in the duffel bag that they gave us, that the Super Bowl committee gave us. So all of that is still probably molded and everything just
now,
in one bag.
I was told by some players, and I won't say their names because statute of limitations has not expired, that a lot of that stuff had to be returned And every one of the players I talked to said, I'm not returning anything.
Right.
I'm taking it all.
Like Dexter, I think his jersey, he couldn't get it. He couldn't take his specific jersey he wore during the game because it had to go to the Hall of Fame and for all that stuff for MVP purposes. But, yeah, a lot of guys, once you got in that locker room and took your jerseys off, the equipment people were snatching them, doing whatever they were going to do with them. So I kept mine, though. I kept mine, though. A lot, handful of guys kept theirs.
All right, Pat wants to know, in your opinion, who is better, Primetime or Ed Reed?
Wow. That's a good question. I've told people this. I think because I played with Ed Reed, I played with great players, Ray Lewis's and Ed Reed's and Warren Sapp's and Derek Brooks's and John Lynch's and Barnde Barber's. I tell people Ed Reed is the best player I've ever played with.
Really?
Best football player I've ever played with. He's awesome. Awesome. He's smart. Ed Reed not only intercepted the ball, but he went and scored touchdowns with the ball. They were trying to – I was asked this question because I did an internship with the Ravens this year. Sorry to get away from – but they were trying to compare him and Troy Polamalu. He has 15 more interceptions than Troy Polamalu has. Ed Reed scored like 30 touchdowns as a defensive player in punt returns and interceptions. So, I think in my personal opinion, no offense to any of the guys that have played who's listening, maybe listening, he's the best player I've ever played with. I've answered that question numerous of times, and I've told this.
Well, since you brought up Troy, who has better hair, though? Does anybody have better hair than Troy?
No. Okay. Anytime you can get a shampoo gig, you have good hair.
You got good hair.
Yeah.
Your feelings, these are all questions from the audience, your feelings about players openly discussing coaches publicly. And I don't know if this question is really about what T.J. Ward said, because he didn't really question the coaching.
Right.
He just questioned that he wants to play more.
Okay, because I was listening to talk radio as we discussed before we went on the air earlier. T.J. Ward comes and he makes vocal that he needs more playing time. But when he did have playing time, what happened to T.J. Ward? He got beat on a touchdown by a guy who used to play quarterback, now plays tight end.
Right.
So T.J. Ward knows. T.J. Ward wasn't his first rodeo. He's not a rookie. He's a, what, 7, 8, 9-year vet. For whatever reason, T.J. Ward, when he was lined up on Logan Thomas, goes underneath the pick. For whatever reason, T.J. Ward had – he's coached by Joe Woods when he was in Denver. T.J. Ward knows 1,000,000% of the time you go over the top of a pick. So he beat himself on that play. I mean, they can just go back to that one specific play. That's why you're not starting. I mean, because it does take one play to change a game, as we all know. I know people say it's cliche. Well, that one play didn't win the game. Yes, that one play or that one missed tackle, it can let them have a first down or it can keep the clock running. So one play, in my opinion, is being a former player. Can definitely lose the game. So, I mean, if he has a gripe, I mean, if he's better than the other people that are playing, they would put him in the game. I mean, because everybody's trying to win. Yep. Nobody's trying to lose and has egos. Everybody wants to win no matter who's out there. So, I mean, either he shows it on the practice field or in the meeting rooms. I know he was coming off an injury and they might try to ease him back, but they definitely – need to play the best 11. If he's one of them, then he should be out there. But if he's not, then he needs to play his role when he came from Denver.
And Dirk addressed that in today's press conference, and he said that they had a meeting last Thursday in his office, and he told T.J. Ward what he needed to do to get on the field.
Yeah.
So, you know, T.J. made his I don't say complaint. He, you know, on wanting to play more. The head coach told him what he needed to do to play more.
Right.
And I don't think he did what he was supposed to do on Sunday.
Definitely. Especially not in that specific scenario that I just gave you. So, I mean, the film doesn't lie. He gave up a touchdown to a mediocre player. And you can't win like that. So
how do you get over games like that? You know, you go back to the New England Patriot game that they shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Right.
But kicking problems. They should have, could have, would have won yesterday, but a play here and a play there, or there and there. How do you get over those?
I mean, you just have to, I don't know. I don't know because I've really never, I mean, we lost some games. Everybody loses some games. We've never really, lost them kind of like the Buccaneers are losing, the missed tackling. I mean, we had always had an emphasis on tackling and everybody running to the ball and different little things can separate winning and losing with these guys. I mean, the Buccaneers, they have a lot of talent, but if that talent doesn't play well, then just, I mean, it's just wasted talent.
All right, somebody asked me this question, and since I've never played in a professional locker room, and you have, the locker room has a ping pong table.
Right.
The locker room has some cornhole boards, and they play cornhole, and they play ping pong. And
uh-huh.
Should they be in the locker room?
And see, we didn't have that stuff when I was in the locker rooms.
Well, there wasn't enough room.
Right. Yeah. Definitely wasn't enough room.
Okay.
So, I mean, we didn't have things like that. If you were looking for Derrick Brooks or somebody, you would find him in the film room. Warren Sapp, you'd find him working out. Simeon Rice, you might find him outside inhaling jet fumes doing the pop-up dummies after practice until dark. But we didn't really have no extracurricular activities like that within the locker room, a cornhole or a basketball goal or a ping pong or anything like that. We were just really focused in on our job when we were in that building and even out of the building. So we didn't have those extracurricular activities going on.
See, I can take either side of that. And I remember, and we keep talking about Warren Sapp. I remember Warren was going to come to a fight. You know, as you probably remember, I'm big in the mixed martial arts. And there was a fight on a Friday. I invited Warren and some guys out. And Warren had planned for a month to go to it. And on Tuesday or Wednesday, I'm in the locker room. And Warren's like, yep, I'll meet you there. And then on Thursday, he called me and he said, I can't go.
Right.
I go, what do you mean you can't go? We've talked about this for 2 months. Why can't you go? And he said, can you imagine if I go out and have a good time on a Friday night and then we lose on Sunday?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be blamed because we went out. So it's that fine line. You still have to live your life. You're not going out there and purposely losing a football game. So how do you walk that fine line?
Nothing is more important than your job. I mean, that's how he looked at that. I mean, because he knew, like you said, if he knew somebody seen him out, Warren was out Friday night, about what time was it? It was about 11 o'clock. Warren knows that on Sunday at 1 o'clock in that heat in Tampa Bay Stadium, he's going to have to chase whatever quarterback it is at least 60 or 70 plays. I mean, that 48 hours is very critical before the game as far as rest is concerned. So he put things in perspective, and he knew that he had a job to do on Sunday, and that's his main goal. He can always go to a fight. You can always go to anything outside of football. You only have a certain window to excel in football and make as much money and win a championship as you can.
I used to always say this, and anybody who knows me knows this is true. I always said I would have paid money to see Warren Sapp play.
Yeah, you would play, because it's definitely worth the price of admission.
And double if it was against Green Bay.
Oh, yeah,
when Brett Favre was
definitely,
there.
Definitely.
You know, that was the game to watch.
That's your own WrestleMania in itself.
Yeah, ain't that the truth, depending on who the head coach is. All right, let's go hit our last break of the evening, coming to you live from the Press Box Sports Emporium. This is The Players Show.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Direct from Broadway comes the one musical with the best songs, the best moves, and the best time you can have in the theater. On Your Feet, the Emilio and Gloria Estefan musical. Surrender to the beat, because the rhythm's gonna get you.
The Strass Center, October 24th to the 29th. Tickets at strasscenter.org.
Come on in to the Country Depot in Brooksville, Florida, or go online to CountryDepotStore.com to get your purses, T-shirts, Western and Southern home decor, antique gifts, small and large, and much, much more. Plus, a large memorabilia area, including Buccaneers and Rays items. That's Country Depot, Brooksville, Florida, or CountryDepotStore.com. Epic Body Work and Massage is the premier massage therapy clinic in Tampa Bay, empowering people to take control over their bodies through skilled body work and sharing of an education that inspires movement. Epic Body Work and Massage guides you through a journey of new awareness as they unravel the twisting years of tension that your body has endured, providing joy as what was once limited movement now comes alive as your body experiences increased range and movement. Visit their website at www.epicbody.work. Schedule an appointment by calling their office at 813-898-0601 and follow them on social media at Epic Body Work.
It's a Culver's tradition. Fresh frozen custard made daily, right in the restaurant, combined with real pumpkin.
Craig Culver on pumpkin season at Culver's.
Our salted caramel pumpkin concrete mixer is drizzled in salted caramel and simply amazing.
Whoa.
If you love pumpkin pie, you'll love Culver's pumpkin spice shake.
Nice.
And new this year, Culver's pumpkin gingerbread concrete mixer.
You better hurry, pumpkin lovers. These creations will be gone before you know it.
Welcome to Delicious.
The Press Box Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the Press Box also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12 draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years. The Press Box Sports Emporium at 222 South Dale Mabry in Tampa.
Hi, this is Mike Alsat from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back coming to you live from the Press Box Sports Emporium. Final few minutes of tonight's player show. Next Monday scheduled, another Super Bowl champ, Chuck Darby, and his cousin, Freddie Martino.
Okay.
We'll be out here next Monday. Corey, for coming out, we have more gifts for you. We have a 90-minute, I don't do 60s,
right.
A 90-minute massage from Epic Body Works.
Appreciate it.
So go get that. And a charge hub. This is really pretty cool. You can charge five items all at the same time.
All right, so, man. Appreciate it. Thanks again.
I live with that thing. It's not that particular one because that one's now yours.
Yes.
Dave wants to know, do you miss playing football?
I miss the camaraderie, the routine, because I had a routine, did the same routine every day, really ate the same things for breakfast and lunch. And when we went to on the road, I did the same routine. But I miss that aspect of it. The physical grind, you know, it's mentally struggling. But overall, if I could go back and play, I definitely would. But, I mean, my time has come and gone. And I exceeded everybody's expectations. So as me, as of today, no, I don't.
Is that, I don't want to say a notch, but is that kind of like one of these things you pound your chest? I mean, an undrafted, you know, player. You know, you fought your way. You went to a couple different teams. You played a long career.
Right.
I believe the average is under 3 years.
Yeah.
For an NFL player. You exceeded that. You have the ring. I mean, is that one of, you know, you pound your chest? And not say look at me, but.
I've always been a humble young man. And it really, I was just blessed. I mean, that's the only way I could put it. I mean, nobody ever would have thought in their wildest dreams that I would play National Football League, even though I used to sit and watch professional players play and all those things. Nobody would have thought that Corey Ivey from St. Louis, Missouri would end up playing in the NFL for a long period of time and even winning a Super Bowl. I mean, so it was definitely a blessing in disguise. And my mom, even to this day, her and my dad, they just shake their head and laugh. And I know what they're laughing at, but It was just a dream come true. My mom always, dad and grandma always told me to dream big, and that's what I did, and they came into reality.
Where's the ring at?
At home.
Do you have it in a safe? Do you have it in a display case? Do you?
No, it's like in a box. It's in a box somewhere, maybe like in the garage or one of the closets.
Really?
I mean, it very rarely gets gets dust on it or anything.
It's and the reason I'm asking that, and everybody knows I'm a big MMA guy. One of my favorite MMA fighters, good friend Matt Hughes, has his belts under his bed.
Really?
Yeah, it's no big deal. His belt's under his bed.
Yeah.
Now, we have a friend, and I won't necessarily say his name, but he's in the NBA.
Okay.
He won an NBA title. He has a ring in a display case that rotates 24/7.
Really?
Yeah.
See, people have tried, yeah. That might be one of my Christmas gifts. I mean, because people always ask me, why isn't it on display? And all. I say, I mean, really, I don't know. I don't know. I just don't put it on display.
Being from St. Louis, was it rough to watch the World Series last year?
It's always rough. And we missed the playoffs this year. It's even rougher.
Well, I'm saying because it was the Cubs last year. So is
I'm glad the Cubs are out, though. Glad.
I used to work for the Cardinals.
It's not as bad.
Yeah. Being a Cardinal, I was back in the day. I worked for the Cardinals, so seeing the Cubs do anything good to me bothers
it's like kryptonite.
Me. Just saying. What did you buy with your first NFL paycheck?
What did I buy? Fun, another good story. My first NFL paycheck was I put a down payment on a Yukon Denali. No, it was a Yukon, Chevy Yukon. And then, because at the time, I was still living. I just made the team, undrafted free agent. I had waited. I was living in Homewood Suites right there on Hillsboro before you get on the Vets. I was living there with a new truck, just going back and forth because my mom and nobody came down here to get me an apartment yet. So I was really like a college freshman that just got dropped off in Tampa, Florida with knowing nothing. I remember, sorry to stray away. I remember during my rookie year, there was a hurricane, and I didn't know where anything was at. So mind you, I'm living over there at the Homewood Suites, and there was a hurricane, because I'm from the Midwest. I had no idea what was going on. And I had to go to the grocery store, or Walmart it was. And I went to the Walmart all the way over there on Del Mabry, South Del Mabry across from Nordstrom Rack. Now I went all the way over there for Walmart, and I got my truck got soaked. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know. I was lost. I was so lost.
How hard, we talked about this, and I know we only have a couple minutes left, and I don't remember what player told me this, but he told me that he lived like he wasn't in the NFL when he was in the NFL so that he could live like he was in the NFL when he wasn't in the NFL.
Right.
How difficult was it? Because you said you kind of did the similar.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I mean, I've never been a big spender with all these lavish cars because they only told me you can drive one car at a time. So I definitely saved for a rainy day because I knew a rainy day was going to come. Like we discussed earlier, you could only play football for so long. So I knew that a rainy day was going to come. So I saved my money. I made some wise investments that are starting to return after your playing days are over with. So you can enjoy the fruits of the labor that you put on all these hard work for 10 years in my case. So I definitely did save. I paid attention into the little seminars that each NFL franchise has, and I took those into consideration about certain things you should do with your money, putting in the 401k with the NFL, and certain things that you would be getting residual income when your playing days are over with. And so far, so good. So I just heeded that advice that I was given and made the most of it.
You mean there are players that wouldn't invest in the NFL?
Believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't that almost be a no-brainer? I mean, I don't like to gamble, but
right.
I don't know if that would fall under gambling, investing in the NFL.
A lot of guys, believe it or not, they live for the now. They don't live for 5 or even 10 years down the road. They live for the now, and there's some guys come from nothing and get a lot of money thrown at them, and they're spending it, and people are coming from all different directions, family members, people that they so-called are now their friends. So a lot of times you just have to say no. So you have to say no sometimes, but definitely.
Let's thank Corey Ivey for coming out and hanging out with us tonight. We're going to do the giveaways off the air. Corey, as always, man.
Hey, man, appreciate
you. All right, we'll see everybody next Monday. Well, like Mick Jagger said, I can't get no satisfaction. The girls are all around, but none of them want to get with me. My threads are fresh and I'm looking deaf. Yo, what's up, what L.O.C.? The girls is all jocking at the other end of the bar. Having drinks with some no-name chump when they know that I'm a star. So I got him a snow over to the other side of the cantina. I asked the guy why he's so fly. He said, Funky Cole Medina. Oh.
funky, funky, funky. Let's get funky.